It is good to be here. We haven't seen your new building because last time we were with you was your weekend away, which we really enjoyed. But we were so excited when we came in. I'm afraid God's given you a building designed in the 60s, so it looks like a huddle of boxes all put together. I used to work for the council, so there's lots of these buildings all over the country. But I think this is a wonderful home. And to be able to be in such a location for Rugeley, and to be able to draw people in, into the family, it's magnificent. So well done. Thank you, Lord. As I walked towards it, I was just praising God. And I love the opportunities this presents. Kay and I are thrilled to be here. We do love being with you, because we love the path that you're going on. We love your heart to press into God. We really enjoyed the prayer meeting. Every time we're with you, we notice a difference. And I don't mean that in a patronising way, because I feel Kay and I, we're growing as much now as we did when we first became Christians 35 years ago. Well, near 40 years ago. God, dear, I'm getting old. And it's wonderful that God hasn't just let us become static and spectators. But God's just as passionate now for us to know and know more than he was when he first saved us. And I love the journey you're on. I love the fact that you want to see the kingdom come. And it's not just something there to be inherited right after we die. It's something here to be brought in here and now. And we really do. It's an exciting adventure. It is an adventure. The Everest film, it's an interesting, it's definitely not a chick flick, and it's definitely not one for Valentine's night, okay? But it is about pressing on. And this is about the kingdom coming. A picture that's really helped us, well, let me show the picture in a minute. We've had the privilege now of seeing new waves of the Spirit come over 4 or 5 decades. So in the 70s, when Kay and I were born again, there was what was called the charismatic movement, okay? Or the charismatic renewal. And that was when God, in his wonderful grace, revealed that actually his children were to be filled with his Spirit every day. And it was when people realized that being baptized in the Spirit was the natural inheritance of every child of God. And it brought with it a new intimacy, a new sense of the presence of God, a new power, a new voice to sing the praises of God. And it was a wonderful thing. It was this new revelation of God that launched many of the big church movements that then became a new wave of God, the Restoration Movement, where there's a revelation about the beauty of the church, the Bride of Christ, and how God hadn't made the church redundant. Actually, the church was still at the center of the King's purposes. And for those of you who are about the same age, for those who are younger, I'm sorry, these names may be just history lesson now, but this launched what was is now New Frontiers. It launched Pioneer and Salt and Light and Covenant Ministries and many of the other movements that are in this nation. And then in the 1980s, or rather the 1990s, we saw what became to be known as the Toronto Blessing. Okay? Now that was the wackiest, wildest time the church in our lives. I remember Terry Virgo and Dave Holden coming back from the States and speaking at a prayer and fasting, and as they're sharing about this new move of the Spirit, within minutes 300 men and women were on the floor either laughing or crying or overwhelmed by the Spirit. And I'd never seen that before. It was amazing. All these very not restricted, because we liked a good laugh, but let's say responsible people acting like children It was wonderful. It was wonderful. But it was a new move of the Spirit that we embraced. And God brought a fresh sense of his joy, his wonder, his father heart, his power, his presence, and just started to open our minds at just what God could do. And we learned then that actually for a movement to keep being a movement, it has to keep moving. It's really important, this now. For a movement to keep being a movement, it has to keep moving. Now, we only want to follow the move of the Spirit, but it's clear that the Spirit keeps breathing fresh life into his church and keeps it moving. Because there's something inside us that just likes to settle. Okay? Now I'm going to share something that not many people know, but my family laugh at. We've got a really nice city, nice leather city, that over 15 years has developed the perfect shape for me to sit in. Okay? Now I won't tell you what my grandchildren call it. Begins with B and ends in hole. But everybody sits in this and said, that's granddad's seat. But it's the perfect shape. And there's something about that that's very comfortable. Do you know what? I think God wants to keep showing us that our comfort is to be drawn by his arms around us, not by the circumstances, because the circumstances will keep changing. And he'll keep refreshing things. And I can assure you that New Frontiers now does not look like it did 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, and it won't look the same in 10 years, if it's still to be following the wind of the Spirit. And what God is doing now, we're enjoying a fresh move of the Spirit that's revealing the Father heart of God, the passion, and I mean passion, that the Father and Jesus and Holy Spirit have for each one of us. The unremitting, unbelievably broad, lavish love and passion that he has. That actually he does enjoy his children. You know, that's a hard one to receive, because we've been very carefully persuaded that we're sinners saved by grace. Okay, and actually we don't get much further past that. Actually, we've been given the righteousness of Christ. And do you know what? We are not sinners who aspire to do good things. We're actually righteous sons and daughters who sometimes make mistakes. And that is a massive, massive difference in the way you look at each one. Massive difference. I am not a failure aspiring to be good. I am actually good and I sometimes trip up. It's a biggie, isn't it? And you know what? God the Father, our Father, looks at us when we spend time with our children, our grandchildren. We're now up to 8 and number 9's on the way. Okay? And my arms are not big enough. There was a day when I could carry all 6 grandchildren, but I'm afraid it's even exceeded my capacity now, 8. But we look at each one of them, and the latest is Flynn, and he's 8 weeks old now, and we were there on Friday night, and he was starting in his own way to try and throw out words. You could see, it wasn't just goo, goo, ga, ga. He was... And you know what? There was something leapt in our spirit. Now, it wasn't English. It wasn't a real word. But the fact that he was trying to communicate, we were so excited. Oh, get on video. You know, get this out. Look at this. Look. We've got to understand that is how Father is with us. If you take the smallest step in faith in response to his love, he's like this. Gate on video, angels. I want this recorded. This is amazing. And you may think, oh, I'm a failure. I get it all wrong. And he said, no, I love it. When the children get a bit older and they bring you the drawings. Okay? And this is you, Granddad. And it's a squirrel like this. It's a big squirrel, but it's a squirrel. And you know what? I could say, that's rubbish. But this, everything inside me said, oh, this is a treasure. Now, it's not amazing art that'll be hung up in a gallery. But you know what? To Kay and I, this is treasure. It really is. And we've got them all in the kitchen. And the grandchildren will come back when they're 12, say, who did that? You did. Oh, and they're kind of disappointed how poor it is. No, this is amazing. That's why we've kept it. And do you know what? The fact that we value it then puts value back in it for them. Because they just look at it and think, what a scribble. Because they've grown up. Now, God is revealing all this, and he's revealing even more, that the kingdom isn't for tomorrow, it's for today. Are we hearing this? The kingdom is not for tomorrow, it's for today. Jesus didn't just die to save you from your sin. He came to bring in the kingdom. And he came to make sons and daughters. If I know how to work this, we'll soon find out. Oh, it's up already. Right. So, many of you will be familiar with this passage in Matthew. Matthew 6:33 was one of the first memories I committed to Scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And I'm just going to read this. To put this into biblical context. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important or valuable than they? You know, in all the time, and we've been Christians 40 years now, I've never heard a preach on that particular verse out of this passage. Are you not more valuable? You know, I'm just going to hold it there, because I've just appreciated. Richard said I would pray that we would be released from all our notes and preparation. I just want to hover there for a second because I just sense the Spirit. This is God of heaven, because Jesus is God, saying to you and me, are you not more valuable than these? And I'm going to stretch you a bit, because I think there's a lot of people listening here that didn't yet have faith in Jesus. And I think there's a word to Rugeley here and beyond. God so loved the world that he sent his son. It doesn't mean he approves of all the sin. It just means he loves them. Are they, as well as you, not more valuable than all these? That's why we reach out, because they're valuable and God loves them. Not to fulfill a ministry of evangelism or a quota. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to their life? Where are we on here? Oh, it's already moved on, so it's fine. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, so do not worry. saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In this seeking first the kingdom, one of the pictures that's really helped Kay and I in seeking first the kingdom, and especially every time the Spirit blows again to help us seek more of the kingdom, is that, can you imagine one person in a large swimming pool, and they're trying to get a current going round the pool, okay? So there's one person swimming, pushing the water, trying to get a current going round the pool. Okay, you can imagine that's really hard work. There's a huge inertia, and to be honest, because of the nature of water, it kind of displaces rather than gets pushed. So you end up kind of creating a few ripples, okay? What if 10 people all stood side by side and started to push the water around? Actually, I think you'd start to get a mini current going. Then if 15 or 20 people all decided to swim and push in the same direction, I think you'd get a current going. Now what you get then is, you may get people who are just stood there and they're thinking, this is funny, I'm feeling something pushing me, and then they feel 20 people coming their way and they kind of bang into them. Oh, this is not what I expected, I came for a swim and I'm banging into people. Or somebody may decide they want to swim in the opposite direction. And you know what? It's really hard to swim against the current. Have you ever found that? And you think, Lord, I'm just trying to do your will. I'm just trying to swim. And you know, you're not understanding there's a current coming in the opposite direction. And then what happens? You go and bump into 20 people all going in the opposite direction. And you suddenly feel, Lord, this Christian life is really hard work. And I'm banging into people, and I'm not really enjoying it. Now if you turn round, the experience is suddenly, if you want to, you can lift your feet up and you get drawn round, isn't it? You're not banging into people anymore. In fact, there's times when you don't even have to swim, because the current is just pulling you around. Now, that's what's happening. I just want to share that picture because that's what's happening here in your church. There's a move of God coming in, and some people caught it. And just the way things happen, some people catch it first. In the charismatic renewal in the 70s, there were a few crazies, as they were considered by the rest of the church, who were talking about being baptized in the Spirit. And it was, the rest of the church was like this, go away. And then they started speaking in funny languages and suddenly lifting their hands up in worship and even daring to play a tambourine, would you believe? And how dare you spoil our organ music? And how dare you interrupt like this? And now, the charismatic of being filled with the Spirit is mainstream. And there's a current being created. And if there's anybody now who hasn't caught the charismatic, they find that they're bumping into all these people who are now being filled with the Spirit. Do you understand? Now this new wave of the Spirit about the kingdom, about the intimacy and presence of God, and how passionate he is, and that the kingdom of God is to be here, some people have got this and started to push the water. And actually, excuse my French, it's flipping hard work. And then what we're thrilled to hear is that some of you are going to Bethel this year as a team. Okay. And I'm not saying Bethel is God, okay? Because the Toronto Blessing got named after the church, the airport, Toronto Airport. But actually, they weren't the source of it. They were just diving in with everybody else. It wasn't a Toronto blessing, it was a God blessing. And it's not just Bethel, so I'm just putting a label on it to try and help you understand. But there's more of you pushing this way. But you may be one of those people who are finding that suddenly you're working hard for God as you ever done, and suddenly you feel like you're fighting a current. Or you're bumping into people who is not quite the same as it used to be. And I just want to encourage you, just ask the Father to confirm whether this is a current of the Spirit or not. And if it is, just turn round. Because suddenly it's going to be a whole lot easier. And you know what? When 50 people are pushing that current, you will create quite a current. And then when people come to visit, do you know what they'll experience? This current. And it doesn't matter if they don't know God, because they'll just start getting swept up in this current. And they'll start experiencing things, and they can't explain why they're experiencing things. But you know what? You can't help experience these things when you're with these funny people. It's great, isn't it? God has got you on a wonderful adventure. But just as Jesus said, a house divided against itself can't stand. And I'm not talking about the demonic now, for those of you who understand the context of that passage. Right? I'm just saying, when a church is all pushing in the same direction, it's amazing what momentum you gain. And you know what, from time to time, some of you will just need to lift your feet up and say, I'm tired, and just go with the current. And that's what can happen. And then when you're refreshed, you can put your feet back down, and you're pushing the momentum along yourselves. God is passionate about bringing in his kingdom. Honestly, I love the church. I will take bullets for the church. But you know what? I have to accept that Jesus preached a lot more about the kingdom than he did church. Because the church, the bride of Christ, was to usher in the kingdom. The church wasn't the end in itself. It's not about just having nice meetings, church, or even looking after each other. It's about bringing in the power and kingdom of God into the whole world. So the people who work in those shops across the road, do you know what? Their businesses are blessed because they're so close to where you meet. Oh, this is heavy now, isn't it? That people go into those shops with illnesses and come out healed. And they can say, how did that happen? We're only a butcher's. I don't know what the shops are. We're only a butcher's. We're near that funny lot over there. And when you go near that funny lot, you get healed. Not because you're a funny lot, we're the children of God. And people start getting swept up in the current. But to understand what the kingdom is really important, because I think many Christians, because the kingdom was to come, and we actually live here on the earth, we've never actually focused a huge amount of attention on what the kingdom looks like. We just have to grind the life out here. And I think God is trying to reveal us, no, I want this kingdom here now. Okay? And I just want to raise two aspects, and then Kay's going to come and bring what's really living with Kay at the moment. Is the first thing is, do you know what? There's no orphans in heaven. It needs to just sink in here. In the kingdom of God, it's a unique kingdom because everybody is a child of God. Everybody's a child of the King. There's no other kingdom I can think of. We recently had the privilege of having a holiday in Morocco, and I didn't realize that was a kingdom. They actually have a king in Morocco. And do you know what? They're not all children of the King. I have to admit, I'm not a child of Queen Elizabeth II. Okay? Name Smith, there's no chance, is there? But in the kingdom of heaven, everybody that's in that kingdom is a son or a daughter of the King. Now that means there are no orphans in the kingdom. Now if the church is to usher the kingdom in, guess what God wants for the church? For there to be no orphans. Now there's a massive difference between children who know their father and have a living father and orphans. Just made a few notes here. Sons and daughters, they have an intimate relationship with their dad. They know him as Abba or Father. They have free access. They feel so secure in his presence, they're happy to ask. One thing I don't know how we've done it, and I don't know if you're experienced the same, if you're a parent, but we've never had to teach our children to ask. We've never sat down and, like algebra, or English, or grammar, and said, this is how you do it. I don't think we've ever sat down and said, this is how you ask us for things. Somehow, in the relationship of love and acceptance and security, the natural thing is just to ask your mum and dad for things. In fact, my eldest son is now 30, how old is Chris? 37. 37 this year. Our youngest is 32. And they still ask us things, and somehow we still end up being bank of mum and dad. And they're in the 30s. And there's still no hesitation about asking. Now, we wouldn't want it any other way. Okay? Now, orphans don't even have an expectation to ask because they've got no relationship. They don't have an expectancy of relationship. In fact, they live life without any expectancy or hunger for relationship because they know it's not there. And I want to say to you, sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the Father of all creation, Jesus came that you might be sons and daughters, not live like orphans. And if you're not experiencing the hug of God and the kiss of God, and this may be, God's got a sense of humour, we've just been invited to go and spend some time in Inverness, working with the church there. And we're really looking forward to that. But my word, Inverness is north. And I used to call myself a northerner living in Leeds. And God's got a real sense of humour, because I tell you, Leeds is south. And this is deep south. But understanding that the Father doesn't want you, he wants you to know. So why we're saying that is, as a northern man, kisses were for girls. That's how I grew up as a child. Other than when you had to say goodnight to all your aunties and they all kind of dropped a wet kiss on you and then you quickly wiped it off. Because that was girly stuff. And you kind of bring that into Christian life. That kind of intimacy is a bit, sorry ladies, some men may relate to this, a bit girly. No. The Father wants to show you his love every day. And you know what? And you see it with our children. Flynn will go to sleep, and there's Mary and there's Damien, and they're still looking over this new baby and still pouring out love, and Flynn's fast asleep. Even while you're asleep, the Father's still expressing his love for you. Now, he wants you to know that, not just here, because the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. He wants you also to know it here, experientially, every day. And if that is not happening, don't take it as criticism, but the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to tell you today, that's living as an orphan, not as a child. And there are no orphans in heaven, so he wants to bring you into your inheritance as a child. Pippa, I know I said at the beginning, and I know Jacqueline's already referred to it, but would you share that again? Jacqueline's already referred to what Pippa shared during the prayer meeting. Have you got the mic? And then I'll pass over to you, dear. Is that okay? Well, you decide. So Pippa's just shared this during the prayer meeting earlier.
It was the thought that God sings over us, and he sings an individual song, especially tailored to you, but his songs aren't, they don't lack harmony, they can harmonize together. So it's a song over us all together, but each has a segment that's yours especially, and it's expressing his love over you.
As Pippa's sharing that, I'm going, oh, that's good. Oh, isn't that special? The Father of the universe sings over you, and he's right now singing a song over you. And I believe, as I'm talking, and we're deciding whether Kay's going to get up, because Kay was going to share, but we just... Spirit, I just pray that you'll reveal something of that song to every person here. I believe there's an individual song being sung over each one of us right now, but in God's amazing ability, they all harmonize as one for the church. Can I just invite you, if it's a step too far, you don't have to do it. Okay? We never force our grandchildren to do anything, but we encourage and we invite and we love them. If you feel stirred in spirit, I'd ask you just take a moment right now and just say, Father, will you reveal your song to me that you're singing over me into my mind and my heart right now? Just take a moment. Father, reveal your songs, please. Reveal your song to each person here. Every precious child here. Thank you, Spirit. We'll return to this at the end, but I believe you've opened a doorway now and given permission for God to break in. What I can assure you will not be in that song is the Father singing over you, you're an orphan and I'm celebrating. Okay? And you know what? If any thought comes into your mind from now until you see him in glory, that you are okay not experiencing directly the love of God, that is a lie from the enemy, and it's an attempt to rob you of your basic inheritance as a son and daughter of God. Kick it out, reject it, and if you're experiencing the absence of God's love, do you know what? Go to God and say, what's wrong, Father? Because I haven't felt you hug me today. And what our grandchildren normally do is dive on me just to make sure I give them a hug. Dive on him. In the nicest possible way, don't give him the option to say no. Not that he would. The second thing about the kingdom, or heaven, okay, is there's no death, no sickness, and there's no deliverance needed in heaven. There's no death, no pain, no tears. This is what Revelation reveals. Nobody will be demonized. Nobody will need delivering. Nobody will need emotional restoration. Physical healing. Just won't exist. So when the Spirit empowers you for gifts of healing, for deliverance, when Jesus commissioned his disciples, now go out, heal the sick, deliver the demonized, preach the kingdom, encourage those who mourn and bring praises, it was for now, not then. Because they're completely redundant, those gifts in heaven. Because there's no sick to pray for. Now, because we get disappointed or disillusioned when we pray for the sick or pray for the deliverance and seemingly nothing happens, it's very easy for us to start to excuse why it's not happening without getting into condemnation. Now, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, so we can't drift into condemnation. So, I've got a quote here. Am I pressing the wrong way? I think it's the next one. Well, let me read this one. Oh, you aim it up there. Thank you. That's appropriate. These are quotes from a book by Bill Johnson called Release the Power of Jesus. And this just confirms we as sons and daughters of God are destined to reveal our Father to the world by bearing his likeness. This is really crucial stuff. We do this as Christ did by communing with the Father, walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth through demonstrations of power and authority, all in the context of showing his love. And this is what I was referring to just a few seconds ago. When miracles are absent and we are followers of Jesus, we instinctively want to create a reason why they are missing so that we can live in our present state without making radical changes. It's too easy to create theological reasons for the absence of miracles. Instead, we are to find out why they are missing and pursue the one who requires the supernatural of us. Over the years, I've heard so many reasons why miracles are not breaking out in the UK. Now, I think there's a change. There is a seed change. And I used to sit in front of missionaries for years and say, you should see what God's doing with miracles in Brazil and Africa. I mean, I'm not seeing them in Bedford or in Leeds or Manchester or Oldham. And then God has just lovingly said, I want to see them everywhere. Don't come up with theological reasons, okay? Why miracles, one of the often quoted statements is an overrealized eschatology. Okay? Do you have a clue what that means? I think I understand what the mean is. It's an overrealization of the kingdom of heaven breaking in. I don't think we can overrealize it. I think the kingdom of heaven, God wants it to break in. And God wouldn't be giving us gifts of healing, right? Because they're not to be stored away for tomorrow when we get to heaven, because then they're completely redundant and useless. So he's not giving us these gifts to practice in heaven. He's giving us these gifts to use now. That's what they exist. And they exist for the butcher's shop as much for a Sunday meeting. What's the supermarket round here? Tesco's. Morrison's. Whoever. I'm not supporting, you know, I'm not sponsored by one of them. But I remember somebody going to Bill Johnson and saying, I want to join your supermarket ministry team. Because they'd heard that some people were being prayed for in supermarkets or malls. And they were getting healed. So this person, because of a particular frame of mind, because you have to work if you're a Christian and you've got to be in a team, and it's okay, I'll join the team. And Bill Jones said, we haven't got a supermarket ministry team, but we do have spirit-filled members who go shopping. Now most of you go shopping. I know men, you try to resist, but at some stage you'll find yourself in a shop. Guess what's in the shop when you're in the shop? The kingdom of heaven. Guess what's in the shop when you're in the shop? The Holy Spirit, who loves to give out gifts of healing and deliverance and words of knowledge and words of and etc. and etc. Does he want that so he can get Tesco club points? Club card points? No! Guess what? It's to use, I don't even like that word, to give away to the other people who are shopping. Because you know what? You'll be shopping with people who have broken hearts, who are mourning, who are ill, who need deliverance, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And you have the power and authority of sons and daughters of the King of Kings, temples of the Holy Spirit. You have the power to bring the kingdom in and release them. And don't wait till heaven, you get into heaven. Because you may be able to show God a load of shiny gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they're all marked unused. And God will say, oh, we'll have to just put those on the shelf now because you can't use them anymore. Guess where spiritual gifts are to be used? Here and now. And out there, as well as in here. Pushing the water around. Okay? It was a massive breakthrough in the 80s. For spiritual gifts to be used in churches. God has been very patient with us. Okay, children, I'm going to show you. This is how my children live, empowered by an indwelling spirit. 1970s. 1980s. Now, in the church, the Bride of Christ, the gifts that this indwelling spirit gives, I want you to use them. Wow! And we're all like children in the playground. And in 1990s, we're even more like children in the playground, all lying all over the place, laughing, joking. And in the, I don't know what the 2010s are, because we went through the noughties, which I never thought was a good name, and now we're in 2010s. Guess what God's doing? Now take them out, children. I've shown you how to use them here. Now take them out into real life. In the workplace. God, when he roars like a lion, he does put courage in you. But your courage may be just enough to pray under your breath for the person you sit next to. Please, don't feel that you have to be a Billy Graham and stand up in the middle of the office and declare the whole gospel and have a chorus line behind you, okay? But do you know what? God wants you to know that you praying under your breath for somebody who sits on that desk can change their life. And the enemy will be whispering in the other ear, what a useless thing. Do you realize how little and puny? And what? Oh, you're so weak. And all you can do is pray under your breath. And you just blow him off. There is more power in my little prayer than there is in the whole of the devil. Because God is bigger than he is. Pushing the swimming pool round. Some of you are thinking, whoa, what's Tony on? Bless him. Can I just say, pick your feet up if you feel that you're going in the wrong direction to the current, and just let the current take you with it a bit. And see what happens. Because I can assure you, I haven't counted up. We're not into numbers. There was a time when leaders would meet together and the first question would be how big your church is. Sadly, more recently, it's how knackered you are. Both of those are wrong. But let's say there's 60, 70 people here. I don't know. All going in the same direction. That is a mighty force. What do you think, dear? Go for it.
What I was going to share was, kind of leading on from what Tony said, was just the power of testimony as we seek to reach out to others and bring the kingdom in, etc. That'll have to be for another time, I think. As Tony, because he's gone a bit off-piste, which is brilliant, and that's fine. And we're just learning much more. Part of what God's doing in us is much more to work together, so this is a bit of an experiment, so that's fine, because I feel very safe here, so that's lovely. So another time, that'd be really good to look at that. But I just really felt, as Tony was speaking, that rather than talk about what testimony is and how it's powerful, and it is so powerful as we share stories of what God is doing in our workplace, there is an innate power in there, and it's not just as telling of what God has done, it's looking into the story and seeing, what do I see of God in this story? What attributes of God am I seeing? And I just thought, rather than just go through this, which I think it would be really good, is to share a testimony, because it really relates to what Philippa was sharing about love and love songs. And then I think if we're going into a ministry time, hopefully, rather than going through the notes, to kind of share my story and allow God to use that. So as I share it, and encourage you, yeah, listen to what happened, but actually let's look for who God is in this. So attributes of God, like a loving God, a generous God, whatever. It's different to know that God, it's different to know that God is generous in here than to experience his generosity. And it's different to know that God is a loving God. I think many of us would have been brought up in that in school. Certainly in my day, that's what we were taught. God is a loving God. But it's so different to experience his love. And I think with sharing a story, it's not so much hearing the action, although that's important. It is, who is God in this? How can I experience God in this? And how can others experience? So just thinking about God as a God of love. And I think many of you know we had an interesting time about 18 months ago now, and things, our lives just were turned upside down and changed. And to be honest, looking back, our hearts were broken. And I, being a good Christian girl, Christian woman, went to God and said, okay, that's fine. What do we do next? And you know, I didn't hear anything, because I was used to looking for instructions. And as Tony was sharing about orphans and children, slaves and children, whatever you want to say, slaves would look for instructions. As a child, God wanted to show me that he loved me. And for quite a while, I kept saying, well, yeah, but, you know, normally I hear a name of a place, move there, we've been trained in this, go and plant the church there, go and do this, and nothing. And then I felt, instead of that, I began to hear love songs. And I began to hear God just singing over me and telling me how much he loved me, how precious I am, how he enjoys my company, he enjoys to hear my voice. And you know what? It was just an amazing experience. It was, in one sense, it wasn't new, because many of you in this room are old enough to know about John Wimber, who we heard him, would it be back in the 80s, John Wimber, late 80s. And I remember then just being so struck by the intimacy with God that he and his team shared, and seeing a loving God and seeing Father and knowing that, and that in one sense that is written through me. But I wouldn't say I got totally lost, I've always known that, but I got busy, got into what do I do next, where do we go next, all those kind of things. And it got a bit on the back burner, and it was like God was, I use the word, he was wooing me back to him, so that relationship again became an intimate one, where it's, you know, I would say it's more important to me now that I spend time with God than I do loads of things. But out of the spending time with God, I probably do more things. But it's a completely different mindset. But I was hearing love songs. And I just, you know, I invite your Holy Spirit, come and help us all in this room to hear those love songs over us. And God was saying to me, I love you. And he said to me, I love you not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Because of who I created you to be. And that was how God has done that later, as that has become more established. And I know there's still so much more to learn in that. It's a journey. God has begun to speak to us about what to do next. But that's for another day, because I don't want to spoil the moment. But actually, I believe, as Philippa said and Tony said, God is singing love songs over us this morning. There's some corporate ones for the church, but there are individual love songs. He's wooing us. He's wooing us to him. Just as a lover woos his wife, you know, but God is wooing us to himself. He's wanting us to spend time with him. It's the greatest thing. I was just thinking back to Genesis, where God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and he wanted to be with Adam and Eve. He walked in the garden in the cool of the day with them, and that is God's desire, that we walk with him, and our hearts are connected.
Can we just spend a moment just continuing what started by this love songs? Because you'll understand then that when you press in and say, Lord, we want to see more healings, more deliverance, more breakthrough, etc., etc., it isn't an issue of condemnation. It's just being swept further and further into the Father's heart. And your heart will be expanded for the people around. Because then you'll pick up not how much he loves you, but also how much he loves them. And for so many years, good evangelical people have kind of ended up judging people who don't know Christ for all that they do wrong. And being very judgmental, to the point where in some countries they'll shoot people. In America, and I'm not having to go at America, okay, but they'll stand outside abortion clinics to shoot people. Now, I'm not agreeing with abortion. I think God weeps over every child. But the answer is not to shoot people, it's to show that Jesus died for them. And you can't do that with a gun and a bullet. And there's people in your workplace, down your road, in your cul-de-sac, at work, wherever you live your lives. And God loves them. And the enemy would love to keep tripping you up by everything that they do wrong. And they will do things that make your hair curl. How bad it is. And God keeps... That's why he sent Jesus. Not to approve of what they're doing, but to save them from what they're doing. Spirit, we asked you earlier, and we know you've been doing it, but we ask you in your wonderful love, just open up our spiritual ears. Open up the ears of our heart to hear your love song over each of us. I believe he's going to sing things into your spirit about who you are and your identity and how precious you are. I also want to invite those who feel... I'd love you to listen first. But then as time goes on, perhaps you just have a sense that you also are perhaps catching what God is saying to somebody else in the room. And I'd just like to release the prophetic gifts so that we can listen in, if you don't mind, on some of the conversations and just celebrate with you what God thinks of you. Is that okay? So let's just spend a few moments. listening to God's song for you. Press in. Don't just sit back and spectate. And even hardened men, can I just say, God wants to sing over you as well.